morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Bethesda Lutheran Church here on the fifth Sunday of Easter. Is everyone enjoying this beautiful summer weather? It's Minnesota for you, I guess, yeah. But certainly we've had a few lovely days this week, so we are certainly grateful for that. And I'm sure all this rain will do our lawns and gardens good. So if you've had a chance to put in your gardens, that is, yet. But in any case, the lawns are still there. But as you see, this is a busy week coming up, especially with Memorial Day here this next weekend. One note on our calendar, on Monday, instead of 9:30 a.m. for a council meeting, it's going to be 1 p.m. So I think that's what was finally decided, was the council meeting at 1 p.m. I know George and Patty Smith are coming back from Kansas, so I think maybe that was part of it. But you also see the veggie stand opens on Saturday, so I know they were out painting it and giving it a new shiny coat this week in some of the nice days that we had. So they managed to schedule that just right. And then the veggie stand should hopefully open Saturday to much acclaim as usual, I'm sure. And of course, as part of that, our jelly makers were busy earlier this week as well. So as you see in there, they made 440 jars. As usual, they are just it's an amazing thing to just stand back and watch just everybody going to town working in there. So definitely thank you to all that helped out with that. Should be some good jelly again this year. And then, of course, next Sunday, or this coming Sunday, not only is that the last day of Sunday school, but there will also, because of Memorial Day, there will be services out at some of the gravesides, which as soon as I figure out where one of them is, I'll be happy to lead the service. So I might need to have Val take me around. But I know where one of them is, but I suppose I could just follow the cars, right, maybe? But no, it should be a good time to remember those who have served and those who have passed on. I also know, as we've been talking a little bit about sort of cross-cultural opportunities, I know the Mille Lacs Indian Museum across the lake are having a number of activities around Memorial Day weekend, and I'll try to get over there for some of those. And I think they have a powwow and some other, like, arts and music events and things like that. And so that could be a good time to sort of broaden your horizons a little bit. And I know it's sort of veterans-themed as well because of the Memorial Day weekend, so that's certainly a great remembrance as well. You'll also see that, of course, VBS is coming up again on our calendar, so that'll be upon us before we know it, I'm sure. So that's June 17th to the 21st, so if you haven't registered yet or haven't talked to some of maybe the some of the younger folks that you might know in your life, this might be a good time to encourage them to come out. You'll also see there is a spring cleanup scheduled for June 5th. So hopefully the weather will cooperate for that. Today is the last day to order some centennial T-shirts. So please make sure, if you haven't done that yet, that'd be a great thing, both as we do different events. I know we're some of us are planning to be in part of the 4th of July parade, but certainly on the day of the centennial and other activities, it would be great to see us all in our various T-shirts. Great way to kind of help unify us as a group. So if you haven't ordered one yet, please check out the display in the social hall. And, of course, there's the ongoing activities and little butterfly fundraiser thing going on again this month, so keep that in mind. Boy, I got another thing here. There's also flower planting on Thursday at 1 p.m. Is that the... Okay, so Wednesday is the cleanup, and then Thursday is the flower... No, that's a different... So that's this Thursday is the flower planting. So there's a lot of stuff going on here, you know. As busy as winter often felt, I know we really come to life here in the summer. So just keep all these things in mind, or at least keep your bulletin handy if you can't keep all those things literally in your mind at the same time. Flower planting Thursday at 1 p.m. Is there anything else we need to announce here before we begin? All right. Well, again, thanks to all those that help out at church and help keep this place such a lively place. And I'm sure we will get some lovely summer weather sooner or later. So, all right. Well, with that, our opening hymn is hymn 834, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the fountain of living water, the rock who gave us birth, our light and our salvation.
Amen.
Joined to Christ in the waters of baptism, we are clothed with God's mercy and forgiveness. Let us give thanks for the gift of baptism. We give you thanks, O God, O living one, for you have created all, and you water the earth abundantly. Oceans and aquifers praise you. Rivers and streams bless you. We remember some of those waters that surround us here in Malmo, Minnesota. We, of course, remember Lake Mille Lacs, Lake Onamia, Clear Lake, the Rum River, the Mississippi, Deer Lake, and Borden Creek. All these bodies of water, big and small. All life is sustained by you, our source. We praise you for Christ, the firstborn from the dead, who frees us from sin and raises us up to new life. Here at this font, we touch the river of the water of life, bright as crystal flowing through the city of God. Here death is washed away forever. Here we are grafted into the tree of life with leaves of healing of the world. Pour out your Holy Spirit on this assembly, into this community, and throughout all creation. Cleanse us from our fears and drown our divisions. Grant that all may drink of your mercy and peace through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us pray. God of all humanity, you welcomed all, sinners and saints, into your kingdom. Help us to be as welcoming and accepting as you. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Our first and main reading this morning is from Paul's letter to the Romans, beginning with the first chapter, the first verse. The reading begins. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets and the Holy Scriptures, the gospel concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for the sake of his name, including yourselves, who are called to belong to Jesus Christ, to all God's beloved in Rome who are called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed throughout the world. For God, whom I serve with my spirit by announcing the gospel of his Son, is my witness that without ceasing I remember you always in my prayers, asking that by God's will I may somehow at last succeed in coming to you. For I am longing to see you, so that I may share with you some spiritual gift to strengthen you, or rather, so that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest among you as I have among the rest of the Gentiles. I am a debtor, both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. Hence my eagerness to proclaim the gospel to you, also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who has faith, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed through faith for faith. As it is written, the one who is righteous will live by faith. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for our gospel response. And our brief gospel response this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, the 9th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
And as he sat at dinner in the house, many tax collectors and sinners came and were sitting with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard this, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Well, in the words of Paul, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I think I've come up with the most elegant and powerful analogy for our calling as disciples yet. We are the pizza delivery people of God. But let me explain. There's going to be in typical Pauline fashion, I'm going to take forever to get around to actually what I mean by that. We begin today, of course, with Paul's letter to the Romans, which begins a little bit in familiar Pauline style, right? Like, even off the bat, there's kind of a bit of theology and long kind of circular kind of language from Paul. And yet it still is an introduction. And an introduction that will close off. We're going to have this letter from letter to the Romans for the last sort of 4 weeks in this sort of long narrative lectionary series we started way back last fall as we read through sporadic bits of it throughout the whole Bible. We began in Genesis, and now we're ending in the letter to the Romans. And it's sort of a fitting finish to have end up with these letters, not just because that's just kind of how the Bible flows, right? It ends with the New Testament and the letters, and then just the revelations at the very end, but that's sort of how the flow of the Bible goes. But it also makes sense sort of chronologically and even theologically as well. You know, we've had all this, we've heard all this information about the Bible from the Old Testament books through the Gospel, and now we have these letters of the early church as Paul and others were going out into this new world, in a sense, this new Christian environment, as these new churches are trying to figure out how to form and how to build off the past but go on into the future. And that's sort of our question as well. We are now in our own new worlds. We've learned all that we've learned. And now, how do we take those first steps? How do we go out into the world with this knowledge? It's this continual process for us as Christians. We face something down. We learn something. And then we have to make sense of what it means to be a new presence in our world as the world is ever changing, the same as it has been for the last 2,000 years. And one of the great things about these letters is we see people wrestle with that very aspect. You know, and at first I thought, you know, when I saw the list of readings and I saw we're beginning with the introduction, I mean, it's kind of like the introduction to a book. There's often good stuff in it, but you're kind of like, all right, skim, 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 until you get to the real meat, you know, of the book. And that was maybe my first impression with this as well. Like, really? There's so much in Romans to talk about. Why are we talking about the opening chapters? And yet I think there is something valuable about reading these opening words that Paul often has at the beginning of his letters. And it's not valuable just from the aspect of sort of the deeper theology that he's starting to introduce and the themes he's going to talk about, but also just from the aspect of realizing that this is a letter, that Paul's letter to the Romans is a letter. You know, it's something that was delivered, we think probably by Phoebe, one of the early female disciples in the new church. As we think she was in one of our songs last week as we were honoring the women of the church, that Phoebe was probably the one to deliver this letter, and perhaps even the one to, often they would read out the letter as if she was Paul, right? So you can imagine her speaking this to the crowd that might have been assembled in this early church in Rome. And to remember that it is a communication from one person to another. I mean, sometimes we get in our minds this very kind of, I don't know, this very dramatic or austere image of the Bible that they are these golden books glowing with divine radiance and just sort of floated down, you know, into some heavenly temple in Jerusalem at some point, and they just kind of shelve them away. But the part of our Bible, you know, is this very earthy kind of thing, that it is this mixing of divine, yes, of course, it is God's word, but it's also spoken through people's mouths. It's written by their hand. It's communication between one person to another. And it's important, I think, to remember that. And that's one of the things I love about these letters that sort of cap off the end of the Bible. And because that's how we receive our faith a lot as well. That's how we experience it, don't we? You know, most of us aren't granted the gift of a burning bush to speak to us. We aren't gifted by a voice out of the whirlwind. We aren't swallowed up by a great fish. You know, if we reject God's message and God needs to send it to us a little bit more clearly, right? We don't have these great magnificent ways of God communicating some clear message to us. We have one another. We have a communication, one of us to another. That's how we so often experience our faith. And certainly we do have moments when we feel God's presence when we are by ourselves, when we are in prayer and meditation, maybe when we're out in nature, maybe when we're working on something with our hands. We have those moments where we feel God's presence in and among us. But so often we feel God's presence through the presence of one another. And Paul seems well aware of that fact. You know, there's this wonderful sort of apologizing he has for not being there in person.
You know, that that he has sent others, of course, in his stead, but he is not able to be there because other things are drawing him away. And in fact, things would draw him away. He had to go to Jerusalem to, I think, deliver some of the funds he had been raising for the new church, and only sort of made his way to Rome, not as part of a planned sort of journey there, but by being arrested and brought to Rome to be put on trial. And so Paul realizes well that this is how we so often experience our faith, that this connection, one person to another, and we see this, these sort of beautiful, if at typically Pauline complicated language, but you know, beautiful that he's talking about this, that it's not just that he wishes to give gifts to them, but that he will receive their spiritual gifts, that they will encourage one another in their faith, and all these beautiful things that happen when we come together as a people of God. And perhaps we also too see a hint in this communication that Paul also knows that it's complicated, right? There's sort of this balancing act of it can be a beautiful thing that when we come together as people, you know, sharing our faith one to another, but it's also a heck of a lot more complicated as well. And Paul is a perfect figure to be an example of that, right? We know that Paul has a complicated past, a painful past, as a person who often persecuted Christians in an earlier life, who would lead them in their own arrests, that would lead them to their own punishments. And it's likely that he well knew that the people in Rome know all about that, that they know of his past as this persecutor of Christians. And he knows that it's going to get a little messy if he does get there in person. And probably, you know, for the people that carry his message to Rome, they may face some very difficult questions after they read his letter. You know, and this is how our life works as well, too. You know, we are called to share our faith, and so often that is a wonderful, wondrous thing. You know, we enjoy our, even just the little moments, right? The coffee hours that we share, the times that, you know, the card players gather for cards, and people gather out in the garden to plant things together and sit together at the veggie stand. You know, this is often wonderful times of working and serving together. But we also know that oftentimes we bring a lot of baggage as well. But we can't let that stop us, right? That's also Paul's message, that he knows all of this. He knows all about himself. He knows that oftentimes when he writes these letters to these early churches, right, it's often he knows he's writing it into a place where people are really just battling with one another theologically and spiritually, and just sort of all the complicated baggage they bring with them as this people called together, but not necessarily feeling that together part quite yet. You know, God's message, we are the carriers of that message, but sometimes we carry a lot of other things with us as well. And yet we are still called to be that, right? We know that God doesn't just call perfect people, because there really aren't perfect people out there to call. There aren't flawless people out there to engage in God's message. We are the messengers of the good news, and yet God is fully well aware that there's going to be complications. But hopefully with forgiveness, with this story of Jesus Christ as part of that, there is forgiveness. There is a path forward. You know, God's message is God's message, and we are just the carriers. We are the delivery mechanism. See, this is where we're coming back, right? We are the pizza delivery people of God's message. We carry something that we did not make, a goodness that we did not create, right? That's somebody else at the pizza shop, right? And we share it with a world that's hungry for it. And we can still kind of screw it up a little bit, right? We can take longer than 30 minutes. We can, you know, take the corner too fast, and it'll, you know, all the toppings will kind of slide to one side. But ultimately, the message is something that is not beholden to us. We are just the people that bear it. And that's an important job. It's a very important job. It's an essential role to play, and we have a fair bit of freedom in how we share the good news. We may not be preachers or letter writers like Paul. We may share it in other more creative ways through all the various gifts. And, of course, that's a big thing for Paul, too, right? All the gifts that God has given us, and how we all fit together as different body parts. But we proceed, and we see from this very introduction how Paul proceeds knowing his own past. You know, you proceed carefully. You proceed honestly. You know, Paul is often very humble. You know, Paul is often acknowledges his own sins and his own shortcomings. But Paul is also still bold, right? He knows the baggage that he carries, but he also knows that he carries something much more powerful than any kind of baggage that we might carry. Paul carries this incredible message of hope and of love and of forgiveness. And he's not going to let that junk from his past slow him down, because he knows that God doesn't want that to slow him down. Paul knows that there's sin and there's suffering in the world, and he knows that sometimes we are the causes of that sin and that suffering, and that we do have to deal with that. We do have to work to seek forgiveness, to seek to restore bonds of friendship, or at the very least to acknowledge the way that we've hurt one another, but yet we can't let that stop us in the end. He knows that he reaches out to communities where there are going to be people that carry their own ways that they've hurt one another, or where they've simply just have barriers that have never really been crossed before, between rich and poor, between Jews and Gentiles, between men and women, between all these things that this new faith is starting to break down. And it'll take time, right? It's going to take a long time to break down a lot of those barriers. We know that there's still plenty of barriers today that we are still in the process of breaking down. But the Christian life is not to be separate, isolated little communities here and there, because that'll make us, you know, that'll help us to avoid all sorts of painful conversations. Paul knows you got to dive in feet first, and you need to be willing to handle some of those difficult conversations. But that out of that, you get to share some wonderful things. And if you aren't willing to take the difficult conversations, then you're never going to be able to get to the wonderful conversations as well. These joyous moments where we celebrate our faith together, where we get to have all these moments of sharing a meal, of sharing some good service together, of sharing in song and sharing in prayer. You know, these things are two sides of the same coin. And so I think we see ourselves in this community in Rome. We see ourselves in Paul. We see ourselves trying to find a new way forward in our lives, to figure out all the things that are difficult to figure out in this life of faith, and to face all the new challenges that will keep coming at us over and over again. You know, we don't get to sit comfortably for too long in our lives of faith. You know, it's one of the frustrating parts of this life, you know, that we sometimes never feel like we just get a moment of just rest. And so, you know, these Christian communities we form, they can help us carve out some of those moments of rest, but they can also help us deal with all the chaos and the mess of our world, even as much as sometimes we are the ones that make the world more messy and complicated. So Paul teaches us a way to begin in this introduction, to begin with honesty, to begin with humility, to begin with prayer and gratitude, to begin with joy and love and hope. And if you begin that way, you know, we as a people of God can handle most anything. Amen.
Thank you.
Let us confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Trusting God's promise of new life, we pray for the renewal of the church, the world, and all of creation. Send your Holy Spirit upon your church. Awaken in us renewed commitment to our baptismal promises, to build community, to worship together, to share our faith, to serve others, and to work for justice and peace. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Forgive us for the ways we have caused creation to suffer. Inspire creativity as we explore new ways of reducing our consumption of Earth's resources. Restore forests and waterways. Replenish the habitats of all endangered and threatened species. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Call all nations to the repentance that leads to life. Empower legislatures to craft laws reflecting your commandments to love and serve. Bless police officers, firefighters, paramedics, and first responders who put themselves at risk to care for others. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Make your home among us and shelter us from storms of death, mourning, crying, and pain. Draw near to those who weep and to those who are lonely. Restore health and wholeness to those who suffer. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We give you thanks for those who carry out the ministry of hospitality. Greeters, ushers, those who make coffee and bake cookies, all who welcome newcomers and care for children, and all who extend a hand of peace to neighbors. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Good and gracious God, we lift up prayers of this community this morning. We offer in prayer those who need your continued loving and healing touch. We offer prayers for Anna, for Jerry Becker, for Jerry Morris, for Judy Wozni, for Marlon Eklund, for George and Pat, for Pat's sister, and for Ted, and for all those now we name in our hearts or out loud. You promise new life for all the faithful departed. Renew us in faith and hope until the day death is no more, when you will dwell with us in the new heaven and earth. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We commend these and all our prayers to you, O God. Come near to us with your saving help. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please share a sign of that peace with one another. This is good, because if I ever faint, you guys are ready to catch me. Thank you. Let us pray. Risen one, as you broke bread with the disciples on the shore, meet us now in this meal. Nourish us to follow you, using our gifts to feed the hungry and tend the weary, and for all for your love's sake. Amen.
Holy, living, and loving God, we praise you for creating the heavens and the earth. We bless you for bringing Noah and his family through the waters of the flood, for freeing your people Israel from the bonds of slavery, and for sending your Son to be our Redeemer. We give you thanks for Jesus, who, living among us, healed the sick, fed the hungry, and with a love stronger than death, gave his life for others. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and broke it and gave thanks and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his life-giving death and glorious resurrection, we await your promised life for all this dying world. Breathe your Spirit on us and on this bread and cup. Carry us in your arms from death to life, that we may live as your chosen ones, clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Through him all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, both now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come to the table. Feast on God's abundant life for you. All are welcome. You may be seated. Please rise as you are able. Living God, you have greeted us in our brokenness and nourished us with the body of Christ broken for us. Risen to new life with you, send us now to bear your healing love into the wounded world. In the name of our risen Savior and Lord, amen. The blessing of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, surround and sustain you, keep you from harm, and fill you with courage. Amen. And our closing hymn is in your bulletins, the Dakota Road song, "Go Now with God."